Hello, this episode is with Christian Hole. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. Loads of fun and radiant joy always comes out of his face and his mouth and his ears and his eyes. And I really, really like him. He does similar stuff to me in terms of producing content with silly people on radio. And he also makes his own content, which is very, very funny, including the character Triss, which some of you probably know about. I recorded it earlier, so when we pick it up here, we are basically talking about how we're both crap at our jobs or make mistakes of not recording when we should be recording. I also beep out a couple of moments of chat because it's because I say some things I shouldn't. Love you.
These stories make me so anxious.
It was all hidden camera, only one time thing. And then at the end, I'm cracking up laughing. And I looked down, I was like,
makes me sick because I've done that so many. You're like, because you're not looking, you're looking at the thing going, yeah. And then you got to hit stop, but you hit record.
Yeah,
and you're like,
yeah, that's what I did.
I'm rolling now.
Yeah.
And I hit. And then you go, maybe I was. Please be recording. And you take it back in. There's a 4-second file.
Oh, my God.
I had to do something with Troy Sivan in the lift here at work. And 10 GoPros, right?
Yeah.
And
all of them not recorded.
But I did this thing previously because we'd done a lift thing and I had 3 GoPros.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I had 10 GoPros for Troy. Because the 3 GoPros I thought were rolling and all 3 of them weren't because I didn't know. I thought just.
I didn't know.
I just didn't
know how to do.
I just.
Film it.
No. And it was with Jess Malboy. And then they were like, oh, how did the footage go? And I was like, I think the lift,
worst,
the
mate.
Signals, because it was in the lift. You know, when you get your phone in and it just, I just, you know, so disappointed. I'm calling GoPro to just try and work it out.
You just didn't press record.
Well, no, because I turned them, I held them and turned them all on because then she came in and I was like, good, they're on.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not rolling.
Right.
That was embarrassing and awkward.
Fuck, that's so funny.
But even after like working with Dan and Maz, YouTube hits, all that, I still do that.
Yeah.
I still do it.
It's just, what is it? It's just.
I've done my own Trish stuff with an external microphone plugged in, done this whole amazing video and then looked at the camera and gone, I hadn't turned the mic on. So all I've got is vision of me doing all this stuff, but no audio. And so I then have to, because it was like it was a reaction, like it was a food reaction video. I'd spent all this money on food.
Yeah.
I then had to bloody act and do
that's
it again.
The worst, and it never
I'm like,
feels
ah,
good.
Ah, yum. I wonder what this tastes like. I mean, you can see the disappointment in the second take because I was so happy with the first take. That's so great. You can spit it in the bin. I've never been able to do that.
Oh,
my brother, my dad.
What's
oh, following? Oh, no. My dad will be at a restaurant and he just has, he's old.
Yeah.
So as you get older, I found, because I'm 30,
yeah,
so youthful and beautiful, you just stop giving shits. And my dad's 70. Yeah. And so we'll be sitting in a restaurant and he'll be like, and mum, as soon as he starts coughing, mum goes, oh my God, he's going to do it. And he goes, and he just picks up a serviette. And mum's just like, John! It's no shit.
Gross.
So I've grown up with dad, and he used to do it at home, and they just spit it in the sink, but not like then go with the tap. It'd just be there in the sink, and it's so foul.
Oh,
and you
God.
Did it just then, and your face, you looked at me like,
what do you want me to do with this?
Yeah, you paused. Yeah. I'm like, just. Spit it in the bin.
Yeah.
It's fine. I can't do it though. I find it gross and foul.
Oh, it's gross. It's like you feel it.
People do it the street and they spit on the floor.
Oh man, it's gross.
Okay. And start.
And start.
Can you just make that the first bit?
Yeah.
Can you just not, or do you have to?
No, nah, we'll leave all that in. We'll leave all that in. I don't have an intro. It just starts. But we just started before I said, well, hey, what's up? So, hey, what's up?
Do people know that you slept with pigs in a pen? Not sexually.
I'm about to say someone else.
Oh. No, I'm that's not a call on former girlfriends. When you describe your job, although you worked with Hamish and Andy, which everyone knows, do they get what you do? Because I'll be like, oh, I'm a video producer for a radio show. And everyone goes, radio? What do they need videos for? And you're like, oh, God. But even younger people, you're like, well, have you ever watched BuzzFeed? Haven't you said everything's video now?
Yeah.
And I just, it's so weird to have to describe what it is that you do because people, they can't get their head around
I never fully feel like I explain my job in a concise way. It's like I just film some people doing silly things and put it on the internet.
I film people on an inflatable boat being held up by other people for 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah, because it changes every time.
That's my job.
Do you ever think of weird, super weird shit? You know, like our brains are fucked. Just this morning, right? I want to see my... it's all right. And so I was like, what if I text her saying, because I'm a bit of a...
Are you allowed to say that? Do you beat that? Okay.
And could we just hang out like...
Jeez!
Like I thought about saying
that. Oh, you didn't?
I didn't
Why
say it.
Why would you think that though?
I don't know. That's why I'm wondering.
Do you have that relationship with your... It's like, Jez.
No.
No.
It's just that's what... Like, there's things... I think things like that.
Yes.
And I go, why did I think that?
Oh, do you know what I do?
What?
Oh. This is deep and weird.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so deep and weird. Have you ever, in your mind, when you're lying in bed, given a practice obituary? I've done it for all my brothers.
Right.
And my mum and dad.
I have imagined that.
And I'm like... It's so morbid. I'm like, and then I would cry and Enya would play and we'd be like, Tim was a great brother. And then there'd be a Trish video would come on. I do think weird, weird, morbid stuff.
And how do you process that? Like, after you've thought it, do you go, I'm a bad person?
No, I don't think I'm a bad person. I go, God, I hope that never happened. Like, I just think of like mum dying in a car crash and then being like, What would happen if that was the case?
Yeah,
and
then,
like, I will cry.
Oh,
I'll cry.
Yeah.
Like, because I'll get right into it and I'll be listening to Spotify and I'll have, like, music going on. That's right. I've never told anyone that. Oh, that's so weird. I'm so glad you brought that up because, yes, I do think weird, dark things, but it's only when I'm trying to get to sleep.
Right.
My brain can't. I find it very difficult to shut off at night. So I'll go to bed at 9, but I won't go to sleep till like 11:30.
Right.
Because I'm constantly thinking of weird, morbid shit like that. Also, maybe if like I bumped into Zac Efron sometime and then I've thought that so often. Like,
What happens?
I go, what would happen if I was having a secret relationship with Zac Efron at his Hollywood status? Like, what would it be like? Like, where would we live? How would we like?
How often do you think that in the last year?
Oh, God. I reckon once a week.
How long do you think about it for?
Not that long.
Just like 30 seconds.
Maybe 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I'll lie there thinking about that. And then I'm like...
So this is at night mostly.
Oh, it's only really ever at night. Or when I used to drive, it's driving. Because you're in bed.
Yeah.
You're in the car.
It's just amazing what your brain processes.
Isn't it weird?
When you're not... what is it like in a semi state of like you're not fully aware or conscious? It just ticks over. It's like dreaming.
Yeah,
it's like the DMT flushes it, and you start.
You
imagining
feel like
things.
You've lost a bit of control of it. It's just this weird thought's happening, and you just push it, and go whoa, bring it back. It's
amazing.
I love that you do that.
So what's your what type of behaviors and people do you love the most?
The ability you did it before. Except I think that wasn't intentional. The ability to self-deprecate. It's so Australian. It really brings you back down to earth and sort of when you put yourself not above someone, but not having self-respect. It's just sort of bringing yourself down
playful,
enough
isn't it?
To have fun and for the other person to know you're not very serious and you're quite playful.
Yeah.
And I really like when people can do that or... They just...
Why is it? Why is it? I think that's an interesting one. You say that because it's like you shatter the illusion that this is a big deal, or like you destroy your ego, I guess.
Yeah. I think I don't know what it is.
I agree. I love it.
It's just like over the last 8 years in the company, I'm in a position now where everyone has all this respect and.
Well, that's what I think it is.
You're so amazing, and you're like, oh, I don't think that. Like, we were just talking before. Sometimes we've forgotten to roll on the cameras, which is our only job. And we filmed something so amazing, but we've forgotten to roll on the cameras. And you've got these sort of new green people wanting to get into radio who are like, oh, Jez is amazing. Like, even I'm like that. And knowing that you have not hit record on a camera makes me feel so good because I do that all the time. And then when people talk you up, you're like, oh, I've got to talk myself down.
Because
I don't want to get up there and be this pretentious,
and that's
ego-driven.
But it's so interesting. I think it's because, maybe it is because we're in an industry like entertainment or comedy or radio where it's like inflated. inflated personalities. Mm-hmm. And so there is this a lot of granditure or whatever you call it.
Yeah, there's heaps.
And so you feel like you need to compensate that for that to just have some reality or realness.
Because, I mean, we see all these personalities and our job is to support them and do whatever they say. So yeah. Obviously in their position, some of them can get quite, just... Their expectations are quite high, and so they lose touch with, well, we're all human, we're all,
yeah.
But you're obviously the centre here, and it can be
challenging.
Yeah. And
it's unhuman, isn't it? Like any work environment, I think that happens in a lot of things as well. Like really,
every industry, everything that bosses, CEOs, managers, you just get to a point where you have so much power and control. And you don't know what to do with it, and you lose touch of just being a normal human being and having a laugh. Or like, I find our bosses here incredible.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Just so down to earth.
Oh, just like, even Hayman and, like, they're the most. I wouldn't have been with them for 10 years if it wasn't for them just being such incredible human beings, so genuine, so caring. Like, it's just.
But their reputation is.
It's the essence. Yeah, exactly. And that's what's cool about it is that it's not just. It's not just their brand, quote unquote. It's actually them.
Yes.
And so that's why I reckon it's effortless for them to continue and do as well as for as long as they have.
It's like
because it's exhausting otherwise, right? Isn't it? Like there's a lot of people.
It's performing. You're just constantly performing, and I understand from a sort of the big radio names perspective, you're on.
On.
And
it
really just sucks the life out of you. You know, I've seen people. They give everything.
Faint.
They give everything. Just on air. And then when the mics go off, they're just exhausted.
Yeah.
And I can understand that.
Yeah. I like that. I like that that's your awareness as well, because I think the hype is easy to... I know, and even for myself, I got definitely drawn to the hype early on. And like, oh, this is so exciting. This is so fun. Bright lights.
Yeah.
And thinking, convinced myself, because everyone apparently were getting all their value from their personalities, because everyone seemed to get their sense of worth from that. And so I think I don't know if you're the same, but all I'm saying is I can understand people having that kind of pedestal approach into an industry or into anything really. And particularly anything in the limelight or in public eye is in this day and age, like so adored. And so, you know, like how we celebrate Kim Kardashian more than we would celebrate Dalai Lama to a degree, you know? Mm.
But I can understand, it's having an understanding of both parties. I find knowing what someone else is going through and what you're going through, you should have. Otherwise, you just resent people. But you shouldn't ever resent someone. It's like Kim Kardashian and the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, right.
People love to hate her. People love her. She's so polarizing because really...
She represents the state of everyone's consciousness.
Yeah, exactly, because that family give up all privacy and everything to sort of give it out to us. And people love that. We're so curious.
Yeah.
We also like the fact that, you know,
it's
quite relatable, the arguments they have and the stuff they go through. I mean, I can't relate to them because I look at them and go, oh, they try and be really relatable. One of their things was, oh my God, my red Ferrari isn't in the driveway and I really want to get, you know, like a coffee. I'm going to have to do the black one. And then all the Kylie has to use the black Ferrari to get her, you know, and you're just like, I love watching that, but they're trying to make it relatable, but they're so wealthy and just, they live a life just that's so different. And maybe that's why people are curious. I find it so interesting how curious we are of celebrities.
So true, dude.
And because I am. I want to know. I'm just.
And why?
I don't know. I'm naturally very curious.
Yeah,
so if I see someone on Grindr, the gay dating app.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, okay, all right. And they'll like link their Instagram in, and then sometimes they'll have a link to a YouTube channel on their Instagram or a name. Then I go Facebook it and I look up more photos.
Five levels deep.
Oh, mate. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll message them. They're hot. But it's like extreme stalking and I'm really curious and I want to know all about them just because I've seen them on Grindr. Like I'm just,
totally.
I don't know why.
It's just it's nature.
Same with like I'm obsessed with Lady Gaga. Just
she's cool.
Because she's so arty and weird and different and you want to know what she's like when she goes home.
Yeah.
Like when everything goes off. Because I'll portray this sort of loud, outgoing, person or on my social channels.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, he's so fun. He'd be life of the party. Yeah. But I don't party. I don't go out. I don't drink. I don't do all this stuff.
All right.
And I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You have these opinions of people and then they're so different, but you want to know what they're really like.
Well, it's art, isn't it? Like in that sense, it's your representation of what your expression.
Like a performance.
Your performance. Yeah.
Yeah.
But why do you enjoy performing? You just like making people laugh.
Yeah, I do. And I've got Trish is a character who's this like blonde wig, shitty blonde wig mum. And I sort of speak to mainly a mum audience because I've got triplet brothers who are younger. So I've grown up with mum and dad consistently yelling and being chronically disappointed with all of us, which is funny. And then you realize that all families are like that and all parents hate their kids and are frustrated by them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I make fun of that and people just love that. And then from that element and success, I brought in the Christian, just my self personality and how I'm old, sore, fat, grumpy. And people are like, oh, me too. And they just relate so well to you. And it's just being authentic. And that's one thing I've learned from, you know, all my years in radio and working on video is people love authenticity, whether you're just so unrelatable, but you're authentic.
Yeah.
Like people love, it's like the Kardashians.
Yeah.
They're so unrelatable, but they're so, well, they appear to be authentic. I mean, most of it's probably staged. Well,
that's true.
Because they appear to be so authentic and real, they're so successful.
Yeah. Well, it's like Donald Trump's authentic in a really disingenuous way. Like
he's so real. It's, you know what you get. He's not lying or faking it. It'll be on Twitter, misspelt.
Yeah.
Apparently now's the thing he can't spell. Have you seen all the tweets?
No.
No.
Yeah. But that's so true. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
What do you hate? Like what really shits
planning.
You? Planning. Yeah.
Like even this, like having the plan to come in, like when I forgot. We'd already organised a couple of weeks ago to come in and you messaged me like the morning of, I think, being like, oh, I'm quite sick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or the day before and I was like, oh, I'm still in bed. I totally forgot about this. Oh, no, I'm here, Jez, waiting for you. You know, try and milk that. I hate planning.
Yeah.
An event, anything, I just get stressed, anxious or I don't know in 4 or 5 days' time if I'm going to want to do that or go to that or feel like I'm in the zone to be able to socially engage.
Yeah, gotcha.
Which I don't know if it's a really selfish thing that I just need to suck it up and push through. But I'm a moment person. Like I'll wake up and people are like, what are you doing this weekend? The answer is always nothing. But I always do heaps of stuff.
Yeah.
It's because I don't plan anything.
Yeah, I love that.
And
man.
I'm not very social. So I don't like to...
So what are you doing?
Socialize.
What are you doing?
I'm such a, like, I'm a loner. I live alone. I love living alone. Yeah. Never been in a relationship.
Yeah.
I'll just wake up and I'll take my laptop up to the cafe in the Botanical Gardens and just write, like, sketches, or I'm writing crappy stories from growing up, trying to write a book.
Awesome.
And, you know, 3 hours will go by and I'm really satisfied with my own company.
Mm.
And people are like, oh, no, but one day you'll find someone. I'm like, for 30 years I've slept
that's your projection.
In a bed on my own.
Yeah.
And I can't, and then if I have someone, I can't sleep if someone's there. And I also don't like sharing my place. Like,
yeah.
It's a bit, it's pretty selfish. Like, I just like,
well, I mean,
my own
selfish,
things, my
though,
own
like,
space.
I mean, I don't think it's selfish. Like, yeah, that's probably just your worry of what other people might think of it.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. I'm also... don't want to ever have anyone go, oh, you know, fucking Christian. Oh, he's what a dickhead. Or he doesn't realize how arrogant he is.
So are you worried about letting people in that sense? Is that what that is? Or what do you mean? Like, you don't want people to change
no.
you?
Oh, no. Just when you say, I'll say, that's so selfish. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But my worry is you think it is.
Right.
So I'm doing that classic, I'll just say it.
Yeah, gotcha.
Oh, I'm aware. Not aware. But I feel like people won't tell you the truth.
Yeah.
If you start to get a little bit, big-headed or full of yourself or a bit weird, they just say it behind your back.
Mm.
And so, I'll
fucking selfish.
Shut up, Jess. That's like the self-deprecating element.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just bring myself back down.
Yeah.
Even though maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Yeah. I'll just tell everyone, And I used to do that with my weight.
Mm.
I'm so fat. Because I know I am. It's a non-issue for everyone else but me. And so I was, when I used to, you know, be on, like, used to be on Grindr. I'm on it now. I'm literally on it now. I found that that self-deprecating of your physical attributes is actually really unattractive and people get really turned off.
Right.
Like I would, because it's just like you're asking for a compliment.
Yeah, right.
And I was told once, like, this guy came over, he was so lovely, he was so complimentary, and I would just push all those compliments away with, no, I'm fat, or no, this is a problem. And then he just went, you need to stop. Like, I'm giving all these compliments.
That's so good he said that.
Yeah. And then I went, oh, you know, like, people don't find it funny. Like, I find it, I need to walk into a room, and if I've put on a bit of weight, it's the first thing I do. Yes, I know I've put on weight. Because right. I worry that people are like, oh, he's got fat.
Yeah,
but
right.
No one's like that. They
no
don't,
one cares.
They don't care.
No, man.
They don't care.
That's so interesting.
That I can't let that go. I still do that now. I try and be, oh, God, this is embarrassing.
What?
I'm wearing a Fitbit. So I bought a Fitbit. Like, went to Lululemon, which is a really expensive gym place, and bought like $200 worth of gym gear. Never worn it, right? I'm trying. But, oh, like, you read Men's Health. And then you just read Men's Health. You don't actually do any of this. I mean, like, I just am a bit lazy and love to eat.
Yeah.
But I want to be thin because I think that's the body that I want to be and I'm also attracted to. Like, right. I look at myself and go, ugh. Right. Oh, that's gross. Oh, put a shirt back on. And that's what I assume other people
it's just
think.
The process of acceptance, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's hard. I haven't. Yeah. I don't think I ever will, because you look back at photos. I don't think I will.
Sounds like you've already changed though. Like if you're aware enough for someone to go, hey, don't do that, and then you're like, oh yeah, that isn't good for me to do.
Yeah, it's a slow change.
Yeah.
But I look at when, like, 10 years ago, you look at photos of yourself, and I thought I was huge, and I'm like, oh, I would do me if I walked in. Like, I was hot. Yeah. I was like, so much thinner, and I look at that and go, I wish I could have appreciated that at the time. And then I go, I wonder if in 10 years I'll feel the same.
About now.
About now. Mm. And so I often go, oh, good. And then that gives me confidence to go, you know, like, I'll just own it. And then, you know, people will message you. Grindr and all those sort of gay apps are really good for my self-confidence. When people message you to be like, oh, you're hot. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Come over. I was just telling you, you know, went to bed at 2 a.m. last night. That was
that was one of those self-rewarding.
Ones. Yeah. And then that's where I get the social, that's a bit bad, where I get the social interaction from. So work's very social.
Yeah.
And then home, I switch off. And then the only sort of human interactions I have are the, you know, 3 to 4 minutes of Grindr. And they come in. I'm a super sexual person too.
Oh, yeah.
Like super.
Right. Mm. So that's what, so it's like, is it regimented in your day? You're like, work, me time, Grindr.
Literally. Like every night. Every night I'll be just, but that's, it's not every night I'm having, you know, whoop, whoop. But that's how I'll talk to a lot of people and communicate and have great conversations. Mm-hmm. And I'm also scared. I'm very scared to have these conversations with guys face to face.
Right.
I don't know why. I'm short.
Like, is it vulnerability?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't like this.
Yeah.
As I point to myself. You know, like, I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
How long have you felt that way?
Always. Always just looked at myself and gone, I'm not attracted to myself, but like, I look at myself and go, that's not attractive.
Oh, mate.
Oh, look, it's fine. there's people there that look at me and go, oh, he's attractive. And I cash in on that.
Yeah. So, but that's interesting that you felt, was there any point, what's the earliest memory where you feel in your childhood where you felt that way about yourself?
Oh, no, it wasn't until, I don't know. I think toward the end of high school, when you leave school, I just, you know, I was very shy. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 23.
Mm.
Didn't do anything until I was 23. I was just so unhappy.
Mm.
And, I think just literally straight after high school, when you suddenly you're out in the real world and you've got to look presentable, I just went, oh, God. And then I bleached my hair. 3 years I had bleached blonde hair. I'll see if I can find you a photo. It's so disgusting. I got mistaken so when I worked in retail, I would often, from the elderly people that would come into work, it was like a homeware store. And because I sound quite feminine, people right now probably think you've been talking to a girl. No. And then it's true. Like I'll really? Do a vi- yeah, I'll do a video. Oh, no, but you know me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too hard once you know me.
Yeah.
I'll be doing a video, like Snapchatting, and then when I turn the camera on myself, people go, oh, my God, I thought it was a girl this whole time, and then it was this like little fat, hairy guy. I get that. I used to get mistaken. I still get mistaken for a girl on the phone when I call up the electricity company, and I'm like, oh, hi, look, there's been an issue with the bill. I just need to go over a few things. They go, thank you, ma'am. We need to speak to the account holder because the account holder is Mr. Christian Hull. And I go, there's two times I've done this. I go, oh, no, no, that is me. I just sound like a girl. And one guy went, oh, so sorry, pressed on. The other one went, no, I'm so sorry, ma'am. We're going to need to speak to the account holder. And I'm like, but I am the account holder. Like, what do I do? So I went.
Do you just drop your balls and just go, oh.
I did. So I just was like, okay, I'll get my husband. Christian. Hello, this is Christian speaking. And I was like, yeah, we just need your address and the PIN number to confirm. I'm like.
I'm just putting on a deep voice.
Like,
I'm just putting on a deep voice.
Like, come on, mate. It's just me putting on a deep voice.
And then so I had this bleach blonde hair working in retail. Yeah. And the moment I thought I really need to get myself physically fit was when this elderly lady, she had sort of hunched back and she was looking down so that she couldn't see directly into my eyes.
Yeah.
And I helped her and we went up to the counter and she said, this lovely young lady helped me. And I was just gutted. I was like, I'm standing in front of you. Like,
full beard.
Full beard! I have a beard! But my trade-off was she couldn't see me. I just, in my mind, I was like, she'd never looked me in the face. She just saw my man boobs, heard my girly voice, and just naturally assumed. And all the team were laughing. And I was like, you know, when you're like, this is so funny. But you're crying, like you're holding back tears. And I just went, and then I went and I got it dyed and changed everything. And it didn't help, though.
You thought it was the hair, but she never looked at you.
Yeah, and so I've always felt just... the best way to describe my appearance, again, I'm going to do the whole fat thing, is I tell people I'm a potato with toothpicks for limbs. Because my limbs are quite thin. Like, my legs are oddly thin for my body size. So it's a potato with toothpicks as limbs and an olive for a head because I've got no neck. It just goes head, shoulders. But it's true, though. It's funny.
It's funny. No, it's just
because
funny.
You look at me and you go, I can see that.
It's. I think it's funny just because, like, you're so light about whatever it is. Like, the truth is we don't choose what body we come into in life. You know, like, it just is what it is. And it's like, I like your embrace of or own in whatever it is that you got. Like, I think that's beautiful and empowering.
Why do we feel like there is like a magazine with what we're supposed to look like? And we're given this and then...
Well, it's continually projected.
But that's what I want to look like.
Right.
Why is it that we can't just grow in and just all be different?
Well, I think you are, though. Like, you're self-aware enough to go, look, this is who I am and I'm going to own it. Like, it's that thing of... Well, I mean... You know?
No, I see what you're saying, but like it's like what we were talking before in the cafe. You're self-aware enough, but you still do it.
Right.
Like I'm self-aware enough to know that I'm unhappy with myself, but I'll still project. I'm still unhappy.
So what is that then? Like, just a way of coping with it?
I think it is.
Yeah. Well, it's my insecurity is my woggle eye. When I get tired, my eye woggles, and I love looking people in the eye, and it makes
does.
Me. Yeah, yeah, and it makes me. I'm disappointed in my anatomy.
I'm disappointed in my left eye.
Yeah, because it's only when I'm tired, or mainly just when I'm tired. But I don't like it because I like you. Like I say, I like connecting. It's,
yeah,
and it makes me go, oh fuck, they must think I'm not looking at them, and I must look weird when my
there's
eye
other
goes.
People in the office that have that.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
so common.
Yeah,
I have noticed when I'm filming, one eye just doesn't seem to be pointing in the same direction as the other. And I wonder if I've got that.
I've never noticed it in you. I think it's just one of those things where it's like, I got a choice to deal with this. I can take responsibility for it and go, all right, it is what it is. I can't help it.
But it's
I can do things to help it. I can get more rest.
Oh, no, all I can do, I can't just help but look at your...
Is it woggling?
No.
And it's the other thing is just have fun with it. Like, you have fun with the things that you're, like, insecure about. Like, I'm insecure about it and I just got to have fun with it. Because otherwise it would be... It has the power over me. If I have the power over it, I'm just like playing with it, going, hey, look, I can woggle my eye.
Oh my God, you can! You've got control of it!
Yeah, I can flick them. Like, I can go left, right, left, right.
Your eyes are pointing in really two different directions. That's amazing. That's like a hidden talent. We had a trivia night, and that's what you should have pulled out is the hidden talent section.
That's what the boys always say. Like, are you talking to me or like that person in the office? It's all those. I mean, they do way funnier versions of that.
That sounds so awful, but it's so funny. Jez, which one of us are you looking at?
but that's what I like about the lightheartedness of our nature.
They don't care.
No one cares.
But why is it that we care?
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly.
I don't get it. Like, why do I care that I'm a bit bigger?
Because the truth is no one cares. Like, even I started wearing the same clothes every day about 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And no one gave a fucking shit. Like, I just had black jeans, white T-shirt.
Didn't they all?
For about a month, no one blinked an eyelid going, hey, are you wearing the same clothes as you wore yesterday? Yeah. No one gives a shit. Let's just do whatever the fuck you want to do and own everything you are.
The beauty of it was, I don't know if they organised with you, but then they all came in dressed as Jez.
Oh, for my birthday. Yeah.
Black pants, white top.
That was nice.
Yeah. That's so funny.
But I don't know, like, you are owning.
But they're embracing your, what they see as like a Jez quirk, which was white top, black pants.
Yeah.
And it's the same with like your eyes or my, you know, chubbiness is, they don't care and they embrace it.
Totally.
But it's when important it's a physical for you to embrace attribute, it. When it's like you've got clothes.
Yeah.
But when it's the eyes,
where it's
people like, but they worry that they might offend you because you're sensitive about
it. Totally.
But then that's when it becomes an issue because suddenly you know they're worried about offending you and then it becomes this secret that no one talks about because no one wants to offend anyone.
That's so interesting. Mm. Just the difference is so clear when we embrace who we are and be who we are compared to when we're insecure about who we are and we project those insecurities out.
But do you reckon like with everyone seeing everything because of Facebook and social media, I look at when I was at high school and then some of the kids now, some of them are coming out as gay in year seven. Like you'd never do that in when I was at school because you'd just be so bullied. But because they're so exposed to, you know, everyone and everything, and it's so normal to be gay now, and it's just accepted that they can just be like, oh, yeah, no, I am. Yeah, what? I don't care. It's like, oh, yeah, I've got a wonky eye. Yeah, I'm chubby. Like, yeah. I wonder if we'll ever get to the point where
it's, so cool.
It's slowly just fizzling out and we don't care because everyone's putting themselves out there and everyone realizes everyone has issues.
Everyone's different.
Yeah. Everyone's got issues with themselves and it doesn't matter.
I love that. That's That's a utopia. I hope so.
It won't happen. We all know it won't happen.
I reckon it actually is happening. It's happening slowly. And it
slowly.
But I think it's slowly relatively. Like even all the movements that have happened.
It's so weird. But do you ever think that like as human beings we've imposed all these rules and regulations on ourselves? When you're born into the world, time doesn't exist. Time is something that we made up.
Yeah, totally.
Like, we made time. Oh, I wish we had more time. Well, we could just give ourselves more time. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Like, we came up with all these constraints and rules, and you look at, like, hundreds of years ago, the Greeks were all having gay sex with each other.
Mm.
And then suddenly, you know, religion comes in, and that becomes huge. And they impose all these rules, and we've, you know,
it's any form of control. Yeah.
It's so fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
And people are like, no, it's always been the way. Like, no, it's not. It's a rule we've made up.
Yeah.
Why are we? Why can't we change our own rule?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It is. It's so weird, dude. And that's why I feel like, fuck all the rules. Like, I don't listen to news or the government shit because I just don't. I don't think it doesn't weigh. It's all so fake and it doesn't affect me because it's not real. Like, that's what I mean by marriage. Like, if I want to marry anyone, I can fucking marry a dolphin if I want. Because I can make up the rules.
Yeah.
Like, if I marry a dolphin legitimately, like, I have a really good pet dolphin or a pig or whatever animal it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, me and you, we're down. I sense that you're down with me too. I want to marry you. I don't give a shit if the government says that's not real because it's fucking real for me and the pig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's true though. That I mean that so deeply. Like fuck anyone saying anything isn't what it is to me.
Yeah. I just find that all fascinating. And you're right with the news. It's all, I'm slowly becoming not a conspiracy theorist, but slowly becoming
a truth theorist.
Yeah. Is it immune to things? Like, you hear a story from the news and you go,
they're
presenting that in what we want to hear.
Yeah.
And we were having this conversation outside about, like, how ISIS is perceived. And
Sorry.
I pointed out there, this is an audio medium. Some people I work with, there was two of them, and one was like, oh, you know, ISIS is bad because X, Y, Z. And the other one was like, yes, they are bad, but the reason they're doing this is because, you know, they see us as like the ISIS.
Yeah.
So you've got the way ISIS is presented to us is, I feel like I'm getting really controversial here.
No, go
I don't support them in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, like, we're like, oh, they're bombing innocent people.
Yeah.
Like, well, so are we.
100%, like, mate.
But because it's presented to us in such a way where it comes across as we need to get rid of them, it's the same where they are.
Oh.
They see us as the enemy. We see them as the enemy.
Yep.
But because we're so staunchly against them, and so are they, it's never, ever going to get resolved. There has to be some level of understanding in the middle,
mate,
and some sort of...
Understanding is exactly what there needs. There needs to be so much more understanding about everyone just leaning in towards, hey, what's it like to be you? What's your experience like? Rather than going, you're other. I think if everyone had that from a grassroots level up, I think that's what genuinely happening. Everyone's state of consciousness is really raising to seeing through what the media has given us. Like that we just don't buy it anymore. We like you say, you listen to it and you go, I can see where you're coming from. It's so obvious. Sometimes it's incredibly obvious. Like, they are bombing us, and like, we know full well you've bombed them a fuckload more than we've been bombed by them.
There's a movie called Zeitgeist.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
Oh, it's just fascinating. And just hearing, and I'm very sort of easily persuaded, but you get all the facts and you piece it all together and you look at it and you go, like, it makes so much, like September 11th.
Yeah.
It just makes so much sense that they wanted to you know, start a war. Fund war, the Rothschilds want to own the banks. Mm. You know, it's all weird and you just don't want it to be true. And people are like, I can't believe you believe that.
Oh, but it makes sense. The richest guys in the world don't want to be known.
No.
So the
But humans are naturally greedy, you know, and you know, they want. And then when you get more power, you want bigger and better things and you go up and up and up and you look at like the presidents and everyone wants control. And then you look at how the wars all started and it's all about power and greed.
Mm.
And we don't want it. The reason why we don't believe half of these conspiracies is because we just don't want it to be true.
Mm.
Because it's so unfathomable that someone would do that and kill innocent people for the sake of trying to be bigger and better and more powerful.
It's funny. It feels like we're just witnessing the disgusting nature of where ignorance has taken our species really right now. My sadness comes from destroying other people that just want to experience being alive and enjoy it.
They just want to go on a bushwalk. There's a bomb coming down on them. You know, like,
Well, but that's where my sadness lies, because really, from a total high perspective, like, the planet's going to be fine. The fucking universe is huge. Mm. Like, nature in existence is going to be fine. It's going to go on. Like, life is going to go on.
Yeah.
We're just temporary manifestations of it. And, like, we've already eradicated so many species. I wouldn't be surprised if we eradicate ourselves. And I wouldn't be that bothered, to be honest, in a lot of ways. Because it's like, it's your fucking fault. You're doing it to yourselves.
Do you reckon we're heading to the end?
I reckon we could. I reckon we won't.
You think something big will have to happen?
I think we're going to continually go towards this shift of more and more destruction, more and more opposing.
Mm.
And then we're going to, because this is when it happens. This is nature's way. And I think it will hit a tipping point where it would be like, nah, fuck this. We can't do this. And then a wave of enlightenment will flood the earth in terms of people waking up. All I mean by that is people going, holy fuck, this is what's happening and I won't stand for it. And the people that love peace will organize themselves as much as the people that love war organize themselves.
Mm.
So that people rise up and there'll be a change.
You've got such high hopes for
the world. I do.
I'm the total opposite.
Don't you?
It's like, I reckon, like, we've become smart enough to stop Ebola, and Ebola's like, too many people in the world, let's just kill half of them.
Well, true.
Well, it's probably why global warming is so many people.
Yeah.
Kill them all. We'll all freak out. We'll all be peaceful for a while, and then we'll repopulate, and then it'll happen again.
Yeah,
mate. That's my theory.
Well, that's
Nature will just kill us off.
Yeah. I reckon you're right.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever change as human beings.
I think we'll evolve. I think nature's and humans' greatest desire is to evolve. Evolve, adapt, and so that can take ages.
Mm. I love that we didn't intend to get this serious and deep. Now, where do you think the Earth will be in 2,000 years?
So with that more like pessimistic approach, what do you think about people like Elon Musk that are evolving?
Right.
Evolving in a productive way.
I think he's a wealthy man who's doing good.
Yeah.
And then
so that's a sign of hope, right?
Yeah.
Because it's basically someone that wants better for everything, playing the game of fucking economy, which is the main dominating energy force in the world. And playing it well.
But I'm surprised he's gotten as far as he has.
Yeah, same. He is as well.
He's not
surprised.
Dead.
Yeah.
Did you feel really bad when that rocket exploded? $500 million rocket.
Oh,
with,
that's nuts, isn't
with
it?
His satellite on it.
I love his response to it. It's like, you learn the most from mistakes.
Yeah, God.
He's so fucking wise.
Oh, I felt so gutted for him. I was like, oh, half his wealth was in that rocket.
Really? Was it that much?
It was $500 million.
So relatable.
It's so relatable. And then people are like, hey, gotta fix all the homeless. Oh, do you find that no one's ever happy? Like, I find...
Oh, what do you mean in just general?
Sorry, just like when someone's like, I'm going to donate this money or I'm going to do this good thing. And people go, oh, but you could have done this and this and this. It's like with... I don't know where this was going.
There's always more.
People are just so ungrateful. And I feel bad from like political sense when the government tries to do something. They're like, we've invested in a new train line. And like, you could have put it into hospitals. And then just so... People are just... becoming so ungrateful for everything.
Why is that?
I don't know.
What are you ungrateful for?
Well, the fact that there's a new train line going in down across from me and the hospitals need money.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm not. But I don't know.
What am I ungrateful for? I'm ungrateful for...
Can you tell if you're ungrateful, though? Do you think you're ungrateful?
Yeah, I'm often ungrateful for just fucking existing. I want to wake
up.
When I'm grateful for living, I'm just wake up and I'm like, I'm fucking alive. I get to experience this. This ain't going to last forever. When I'm dead, I'm going to look back at when I'm alive and go, you were lucky, man, to be alive and experiencing, breathing, looking, evolving, adapting, doing new things.
It's so hard to get into that headspace.
It so is. But that's when I'm taking for granted life.
I can never get into that because sometimes when you say like, oh, I'm alive, I should be so grateful. I say that. But I don't think it.
Right.
Like I'm, you know, you'll be like in the depths of despair, but like, oh, at least I'm alive. It doesn't change how you feel.
Yeah.
I feel it's just trying to justify, like, you know, I'll be sitting, like I have a, you know, pretty good life.
Mm.
And when something happens and you're just really sad and then someone goes, well, you know, there are starving children in Africa. And I go, yeah, that doesn't make me feel better. Like I still, like, yes, there are.
Yeah.
And I just like, but I can't get rid of this, like, sadness. And then you work through it. And then when you're happy, you're like... Well, I think when I'm happy, I'm really appreciative and really grateful.
Mm.
But when I'm in that ungrateful headspace, I don't see it as being ungrateful. I'm just like, I need help. I need...
So do you think
does that
there's...
make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But to me, it sounds like there's this sadness that's quite deep and hasn't been dislodged or you haven't got to the bottom of...
Are you going to be a psychologist after Hamishnadi?
No, I could be wrong. But like for me, when I have blockages, if there's a sadness, like for me, it's been with my family. Like I grew up Christian and very Christian. And when I was 24, I stopped going to church. But then I still wanted to have the level of relationship that I had with them when I was in the church, which is one of more of we really get each other. We're, you're pretty tight. You talk about everything. Mm. And you have the same framework and understanding of life. And I don't have that anymore. I really feel sad about having a more superficial level relationship with them and I can't get it back and I've tried years and years.
Do you understand where they're coming from?
I do because I was there. I was in their shoes.
Right.
I know what it's like to have with their worldview in it from a Christian perspective.
And you just feel sad that you want them to come out of that.
Yeah, I've wanted them to change for, and it's just so unfair for them. That's so unrealistic and stupid
it is,
for me.
But it is.
But it's a natural thing
it's
to do.
It's the way they've been brought up.
Yeah,
they grow up. It's.
But I want to be seen. That's where my sadness comes from. Like I had a very.
You want them to understand.
Yeah, I just want them to hear me and go. I get what you're saying. Like if I'm going, I have this really profound spiritual experience when I was turned 30, when I was meditating and it felt like I was fucking Buddha because it was like this radiance. My skin was literally tingling and this like from my mind's eye, my body was just white and I felt like I was everything.
Wow.
And in that moment of experience, that was so real for me. And I was like, this happened, guys. And they're like, well, a week ago, you're in Rio at Carnival getting fuck-faced every day for seven days. Like,
right.
And I was like, true, but this just happened. And this was very real.
Mm.
And there's just no,
and they're like,
and that's like that's hurts, man. That's like it took ages for me to go that. No, that's just their perspective. This is still very real. It's just when it's your family, it's like the most deepest of relationship connection. So that's what I mean by an example of a real deep seated pain root that I didn't dislodge or understand. I didn't really understand what was at the deepest of it. So I had to kind of go to the very base of it and go right.
Oof.
What is it? I think I need them to validate.
understand.
I just want to be understood.
It's just like, oh, understood and loved, basically, yeah, for what you are.
Yes.
I think.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's
not
exactly
got to be easy.
No, and so I don't get that to the level that I want.
Still feel uneasy with that?
Yeah, no, I've accepted it. I think it comes up again because it's a pretty deep one. Like, it's a long time it's been around. Mm. It's one that I'm just like, I have to smile at and acknowledge. It's really acknowledging it, going, when it comes up that, oh, I look at it and go, all right, mm-hmm. I know what you're trying to do.
You're like, the eldest?
Middle.
Right.
What are you?
No, I'm the eldest.
Eldest.
But see, that'd be hard. Like, I'm very lucky. My family are incredibly supportive and just a bunch of legends. Mm. And I think if I didn't have that, I don't know. I don't know how I would have turned out because I'm very sensitive and very fragile. And I'm...
Well, you'd either adapt or you wouldn't. Mm. That's really all the choices.
I always wondered what would happen if you know, I wasn't lucky to have the supportive parents who, you know, knew before I knew I was gay. And awesome. My brothers who are just divine. And that fulfills me a lot, that I don't need to be social or I don't need to. Mm. Like, I holiday with... It was brought up. A friend of mine was like, oh, you only ever go on holidays with your parents. And I was like, oh, I do. I only got, like... I go on, like, these old people retreats with them. Like, we did a tour around Tasmania. I did the Blue Mountains, but I loved it. And I had a great time with them. And then they were like, nice. Yeah, but do your parents like it? I go, oh, God, I don't know. I hope so.
I'm sure they'll love it.
It's... And I really feel for you. Like, that's I just couldn't imagine how hard and...
Well,
does it make you anxious?
No. Uh-huh. No, I really feel like I've established my own sense of worth within, without any person.
Right.
Like, yeah. And that took me time, a long time, mostly just through meditating all the time, pretty much. Still in my nervous system, de-exciting myself and going, what's true? And seeing clearer. And the truth is, they don't determine my sense of worth. I'm grateful for having a deep relationship with them when I have, and I'm grateful for any form of relationship I can have with them now. Mm. I just want to be sure that I'm giving and bringing my best self to them every time, so then we have the best chance of communion on the deepest, most beautiful, fun level. Really, it's all about fun. Like, I have a heap of fun with my family, like, really.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So it's not a sad thing.
Yeah, good.
And,
good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'd be fine. Like, the thing is, if you didn't have that with your family, it would fucking hurt for a bit, and then you just adapt and go, all right, well, that means that's telling me something. It really was nature, or it was a chance to evolve. It was a chance to go, all right, I'm leaning on something for my sense of self-worth. I don't have that anymore. I've got to find it somewhere in a truer pillar.
I guess it's just something that you've grown up and known for so long, that just a quick change. And you're like, whoa, you're so far from it.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I wanted to die. Like, I was so depressed that for a bunch of shit that I was like, I don't give a fuck if I live. And there's a bunch of suicidal thoughts, bunch of like just non-care for.
Yeah.
And a couple of times in hospital when my lung collapsed and a few other things where I was like, I'm pretty close to death right now and I don't really mind.
Oh. But your whole world's gone, basically.
Yeah, because
everything you've known is just suddenly changed.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my choice. It wasn't their fault. Mm. It was my choice of walking away from that Christian thing and exploring it. And you know, like, I'm responsible for all of that. Like, it's not anyone else's fault but mine. Mm. And I'm glad I did it. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to. I consciously walked away from being Christian and go, I want to get burnt. I want to know what it feels like to experience life and then go, all right, I can make a choice now, like, rather than always being scared to go down a certain path, which is what you like when you're guilt orientating.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like the whole yes no debate for marriage equality. I'm not a fan of people who scream yes at you, and I'm not a fan of people who scream no at you. It doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, right.
And you have to have an understanding that I don't hate anyone who's going to vote no. Like, it's disappointing, but I don't hate them because most of them have grown up being told that that is sinful, it's wrong, and it's bad. I've been up growing being told, this might be a weird comparison, that murder is wrong, sinful, and bad. So if someone was to suddenly come up to me and go, murder is right, vote yes to murder, you know, I'd be like, no, I'm not doing that because my whole existence and belief systems, I've been taught up to be like, that's very wrong. But that's what they believe.
Yeah.
And so they freak out. Yeah. And they're like, no.
That's a great comparison.
You don't
though,
want
truly.
People to go and murder. But they're like, oh, I don't want you. This is how I justify it. They're like, I don't want you to go to hell and burn. I want you to go to heaven. So I'm going to vote no for you to go to hell. So no, don't go to hell. That's how I see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably not the case for some people. And you've got like Charlottesville, all those. You've got batshit crazy people who just, it's not a religious thing. They just, I don't know what's going on up there. But then.
Well, you do. They're in psychosis. They're in like they're mentally unstable.
Do you reckon they are? They can't all be.
Oh, mate, but like when I got real mentally ill, there was a bunch of thoughts that I had where I was like, fuck, I can really relate to, not that I ever thought about hurting anyone, but I could relate to how the brain can take you to a place where it's so far from civilization that in terms of just extreme weird thoughts that I'm like, I can understand. Basically, by nature of going down my path, one real deep path in my brain in terms of depression, I can go, all right, if I took another path this way, I can see how at the extreme end of that path, there'll be some fucking weird shit that you'd do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, I get where you're going at, but I just can't, because the brain's so weak and complex.
Oh, it's incredibly powerful.
I just can't fathom how, you know, you look at the neo-Nazis that are all in America having these protests, like they want to kill people because they have different skin color. Yeah. I just don't understand.
On a superficial level, on a deep level, they hate themselves and they haven't got a deep sense of understanding, or there's no supreme knowledge in the sense of the mechanics of the existence.
You think that they hate themselves on a deeper level, though?
I think they couldn't live in themselves. I reckon they'd cry when they're having sex. I could be completely wrong. I mean, I don't know, to be honest. Yeah.
No, I guess that's the thing. No one knows. And try and justify it. Yeah. We're always trying to explain. So that's, you bring up a good point. We always try and explain human behavior, and you can't.
You can't.
You just want, a reason as to why. I want a reason as to why they're this way, and you can't.
But I think we can have a pretty good stab. I think for starters, they think of other people as other. Like when really on a true level, we all exist and therefore we're all the same, like on a widest perspective, right? No, you're breathing, yes. I'm breathing,
yeah,
no matter what your path, color, whatever,
yeah,
we're the same in that sense,
yes.
So if on that level I would never want to hurt extended self, like, and so if I want to hurt extended self, it's because I haven't accepted all of who I or what I am. I know it's pretty deep.
It is so deep.
But It's an inability to love. That's all that's being demonstrated.
Yes. Oh, you're right.
And love themselves and love others. And we do know it's true that if you can't love other, you sure as a hell can't love yourself. Because those that love others truly love themselves. In my experience of love. And you correct me if I'm wrong or if there's a better way to see that.
No, I see what you're saying. And then you just look at some people, and I just look at them and think they love themselves so much that they genuinely believe that everyone should be like them. And so then they just want anyone that's not like them gone.
Right. I don't think that's deep love. That's superficial love.
No, that's, it's all, yeah.
It's all, there's all layers of love. I mean, like unconditional, full acceptance of self.
Do you reckon anyone is like that? Anyone is just the perfect human in terms of love? Like, do you think you are?
No, I'm not. I think I'm continually working on it. And I think
I'll
work
tolerant.
On it for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Because you're probably, I would say, and everyone thinks, well, I don't think everyone thinks, but everyone thinks Jez Khan is just so, like, everyone loves you. You're so divine and spiritual. Yeah.
We all hate him so much. We just pretend to love him.
No, but everyone's like you're so polite and nice to everybody.
I don't think I am. I'm moody sometimes. You got to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, don't you?
I've never experienced the Jez mood.
Yeah, all right.
Wow, have you?
I'm just trying to be self-deprecating.
Can you be honest here? Have you ever been annoyed with me coming in and disturbing you at any point? Be honest, please.
But into
like
my
being
office.
Like, can I borrow this camera? Or
never with that stuff. Damn. No. Okay.
Oh, God. Here we go. Was it with me? Oh, my God. Tell me. Have you ever been just like, Christian, just... Go on, do it. Rip it off like a Band-Aid.
No.
You're going to shatter my... This is going to shatter me.
No, it's not.
Do it.
Mate, you're so lovable. How can I fucking feel that?
What were you going to say?
No, look, the only... No, I can't say it now.
Oh, yes, please. No, it'll be fine. No. I will always love you.
No.
It's a promise.
All right, what it was is like... So, you know when I used to sit next to Trav in the office? Basically, he's got a loud laugh, and it used to give me a shock. And because your laugh is loud,
yes,
it sometimes gives me a shock if I'm too close to it.
Yes. But you're not the only one.
But
mate.
Now I
There's
love...
There's a Facebook group on that.
But now I fucking love your
what
laugh.
What about Carly Humby, who you work with?
Yeah.
Because her laugh is, ha-ha!
Yeah,
do you get that from her?
Yeah.
Or it's not as abrasive as mine?
I love all laughs. I fucking love laughs. But sometimes when I'm in a zone, if I'm plugged in editing, or if I'm like feeling a bit... I don't know.
Like touch,
just focus
on edge.
When I'm on edge or like not really quite myself or yeah. A laugh can really give me a shock.
Yeah,
and so it's just this shock that I'm like, oh, that was a shock. That's all.
You're not like that. You're like fucking shut up. Because people have done that out in the office where I'll just laugh because my laugh it'll go straight to extreme yell.
Yeah.
It's just so quick and loud.
But mate, I can't
and
tell
they get
how
scared
much-
and they go Christian. Keep it down. I'm like, oh, sorry.
But no shit. Yes, no. 3 days ago, I go to Carl's when you're cracking up out there having a laugh. I was like, fuck, I love his laugh.
Thank you.
I literally said that to her. You can ask her.
I feel like when people say that, they say it to you while you're laughing. Oh, I love your laugh. It's a passive aggressive way of saying, but please keep it down. I went to a comedy show.
You have so much fun. You know, like you're having so much fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
And that's why it's adorable. Like, I fucking love that because it's just like, I'm free and I'm having so much fun and I don't give a fuck.
Laughing
that's
is
so
such
attractive.
A healing thing. Mm. It makes you feel so good. Mm. And I remember going to this comedy show and it was just so funny. And I was sitting there and I was like loud. And you get people look at you because you're so loud. I'm like, that's okay. And then I noticed the woman in front of me was sitting blocking her ears. And I felt so bad. And I just went... Oh my God, she can't hear the comedy. She's just like, oh, this is so loud and annoying. And I just went and I stopped and like I controlled myself.
Yeah.
And then I just leaned in and I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I know I'm a loud laugher. I'll stop laughing loudly. She laughed at that. Like she wasn't angry. And she's like, oh no, it's okay. And I go, no, it's not. You're blocking your ears. Like,
oh, it's so
and then,
sweet.
Oh, it's just, and then you forget. I forget how.
But that's so
loud.
Nice of you to do that. Like, so many people wouldn't have the guts to do that. They'd be like, they'd feel shit about themselves or something.
But that's as you get older. You stop giving a fuck about stuff. Like,
well, have you read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck? I feel like...
No, my brother's got it.
Oh, it's
no.
So good.
Is it good?
I mean, you already live like it, but you would love reading about the mechanics of it. You probably already understand the mechanics of it, but like it's a cool
If
read.
I was younger, though, I'd be just embarrassed and stop and wouldn't say anything.
Mm.
But because...
I'm so wise now.
Yeah, because I'm so smart all my life experience. But because you use humour to call it out, they have a laugh with you and they realise he's not a bad human. I was annoyed at him, but you've turned that situation into something funny. Yeah. Like before when I was opening the door for the lady in the cafe and I didn't need to help her, but I was like, I'll help her. But I made it worse and she almost dropped her coffee. And instead of not saying anything and her being annoyed, I said, oh my God, I just made this 50 times more difficult for you. I'm so sorry. And then she laughed. See ya, we're best friends now. Like, you just got to diffuse it all with humor. Just try and have a laugh in a shit situation.
I love that, dude. I honestly reckon that is so beautiful how you exist. And it's not even like you're doing those things. It's just your essence, how it spills out of you. It's just fun, free, and witty and quick.
Mm.
And like, that's a beautiful state to exist in.
It's pretty fun.
It's so fun,
I mean,
dude.
You can really get into that. And like, work's really good because work's really supportive.
Yeah.
And I'm in a job now where that I can just do that. I feel like I work better on my own.
Mm.
And then you can call out bullshit and, you know, you're not living up to other people's expectations. And then when something goes wrong, it's all on you.
Mm.
Then I can make fun of it. I find humour is just the best way.
It's such a powerful.
But you've got to pick your moments. Mm. I've definitely picked my moments that haven't worked. You're trying to make people laugh, but it's making the situation way worse.
Not funny. Mm. Yeah, I've done that too. It's inappropriate. That's the thing. When I just go, and you just don't read
this,
where the other person's at, but in your brain, this is a funny idea.
Yeah, this is so funny. But it's like when a friend of mine had a breakup, and I was like, oh my God, I could do a funny video like this. Like, oh, I'm so... Like, just made her cry. I'm like, oh, she's still in that sad headspace. She's not in that reflective, let's laugh
yeah,
about it
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I really needed to have picked my moment.
Way too soon.
Yeah, like way too soon. I felt really bad.
What are you excited about most with your work? And what's next? What excites you about your work next?
The fact that I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Like, I didn't think I'd have such success with sort of making videos and putting, you know, myself out there. I mean, I got into radio to do that, and then I realized radio is so quick and quick talk breaks. Don't get too personal. It's like a day jock. You just come in, you say the name of the song, you go next. And then I tried that, didn't like that. And then I was a breakfast producer, and then that was just, it's not inauthentic, but it felt for me very inauthentic. You couldn't say certain things. You're restricted to rules and regulations. Don't talk about a lot of the things that I, you know, talk
want
about
to.
Sex and all that stuff. Yeah. And you're always too confronting. And then I just went, oh, this is too difficult.
Yeah.
Like, be authentic, but here are the rules to be authentic.
There's five red tape.
Yeah. And so then I started doing my own podcast where I could just, you can say whatever you want. And there's no rules. And then I started.
Say whatever you want right now.
Your brain is sticking over. Let's say I would on my podcast.
Too much freedom.
Yeah, on my podcast, I can say whatever I want, but I feel like I have, there's a certain responsibility on this one.
No, you've got no responsibility other than to yourself.
Yeah. Okay. There's so many things I want to say.
yeah, go on. Sorry, I was
talking. No, and then that took off. Like, I had a lot of success with that.
What was the catalyzer for you?
Well, I started Facebook, and that was successful. Then I started podcasting, and then there was YouTube. So everything was going on, and it was all ticking along slowly but nicely. And then I made a video about being a nurse. I poked fun at it, and then just I had a lot of nurses who related to that, shared that. Then my Facebook page exploded with a lot of new followers, heaps of new interaction.
So isn't it amazing that you can just perform as a nurse? You've got no experience of being a nurse whatsoever.
None. El Silcho. And a friend of mine said, you should do a nurse video. And I was like, well, what's a day like in your life?
Yeah.
And just listed off all this incredible, just intense stuff. And he gave me some hilarious stories. And then I just was like, well, I'll tweak a bit here and there. I'll turn it into this.
Mate, you're an artist.
And then I had 60,000 followers. And that took me 18 months to get. And then the last 6 months, I've gone up to 270,000.
Wow.
And then with that catalyst, I've been able to push people to the podcast and push people out to all my stuff. And then that's ticking along and that's growing. And that's led to, you know, being asked to do some sponsored videos. It's starting to generate an income.
Awesome.
And then here's the cool bit. I got asked to audition for an ABC show. And I've never auditioned before. And what I do, oh, no. Oh, the best moment. You know Luke McGregor.
Yeah.
We had him when I was working on a breakfast show. He came in and he just pointed at me and went, I watched the nurse video last night with my partner.
Oh, that's
she's a nurse.
So cool.
And I just went, oh, because he's this hilarious, incredibly like comic genius.
Oh,
he's written
so funny.
Such great TV shows. And I just was like, oh, he's like, you're really funny. And I was like, oh, my God. And then he was like, can I get a photo? And I said,
I'll go
get my Trish wig. So we did the photo. And then even the Auntie Donna boys. Now, I look at the Auntie Donna boys.
They're
this
so
trio
funny.
Who,
yeah.
Their comedy, you either understand it or you don't get it. But it's so fucking weird. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And it's been so successful that I've gone, oh, I can do weird as well. Like, people have embraced the weirdness of Auntie Donna.
Right.
And then when they came in and came up to me, went, oh, you know, on the way out, yo, I've seen your stuff. It's really funny. And you're just like, oh, like it's just this slow and that's growing and people,
so nice.
You don't realize who watches your content until you have those cool moments where people that you aspire to be and have inspired you give you those compliments.
That's wicked, man.
And then I got the audition for an ABC TV show, which I just butchered. But it was fun and it made me.
I just slayed. I killed it.
Oh, mate. It was just, no. Was
in the worst way.
It was embarrassing. Because it was with, you know, the catering show. So it's this really hilarious two Australian girls, both named Kate. They do this. Go look them up. Go onto YouTube and type in catering show. It's exactly the type of comedy that I want to do.
Right.
So I was like, oh my God. And I get there and I like love these two and I just embarrassed myself and I felt so bad and they were so lovely. And I just having to learn lines. And then I realized I can't learn other people's
work.
Sketches.
Yeah.
Because I don't get that character that they wanted me to do. That's not who I was. It's not as much as I wanted to be in it. And then I just realized, oh no, I don't really want to do TV. Or I don't want to, unless I write it or.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so there was that avenue, that opportunity came about because of Facebook, know, people like Ford and Holden wanting you to do videos because they see what's going on in the interaction. And it's just growing. And I don't know.
That's so exciting.
I don't know where it's going to go. I'm very excited.
What do you enjoy the most about it?
Getting messages from genuine fans and people who enjoy your content. And it's really nice when a lot of people, I realize, are going through so much shit. That's when I'm grateful because you realize, like, my life's pretty good. And they'll write out what they're going through, and then they just say, look, but, you know, for the last 3 hours I've been pissing myself because I've just gone through all your videos. And that's a pretty cool feeling.
That's awesome, dude.
And interacting with them. Because I get all my ideas from my audience. Mm. I'll just be like, well, what video do you want me to make?
Mm.
And they give you. And then they almost write the content for me because I don't know what a nurse does, but that's, I'll just so ask someone nice. And then they'll tell you.
That's so good, though. But your ability to relate, you're an actor in that sense. Like, that's what artists do. Is it, you know, I watched that Heath Ledger doco the other night and I was like, fuck, that's powerful. Ooh. But how he got, have you seen it?
I can't because I love Heath Ledger. And Heath Ledger was like my hall pass.
Oh, really?
Forever. And then, I'm devastated.
Yeah.
I'm so devastated.
Oh.
I can't watch that documentary. I was crying the whole way through.
Oh, man. It's
brutal.
Powerful and beautiful. No, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful,
it's just so
and it's well
sad.
Made. Yeah, he's just fucking, he's gorgeous, powerful, free spirit, just such an artist. Like the Joker stuff just gave you goosebumps. How he gets into the character, like everything from how he licked his lip and it created that little quirk was because the makeup kept falling off, and so he kept having to lick it up. But then he just built it in. But he did it all his own makeup, and he just got into the character for like 6 weeks before shoot, I think it was, and just started speaking like it and
and that's got to mess with you.
Yeah, yeah, but I think he was still always there.
Mm.
But his ability as an artist to do that is, and it's similar to what you're doing in the sense of you're getting a brief from a nurse that goes, "Hey, this is the film." And then you absorb it and then create it.
I do find it so weird that was able to connect that nurse video because everyone's like, that is 100% exactly my day. And you've made, it's like exactly, and they just loved it. And I just find it so weird when you're trying to.
Well, it's so powerful, your work in that sense, mate. You're giving people a relatable release in their work or just to be able to laugh. You're actually changing the state of their brain when they see something and go, oh, I can relate to that. Oh, now I'm laughing about that way it is that my life is that I'm normally upset about or I'm normally stressed about. And now they're like, fuck, I have a new relationship to that stress now because they're watching you be comedic about it. And that's actually, you're changing a lot of people.
I never thought about that.
That's what you're doing, man. Yeah. So congratulations.
One video at a time.
Yeah. I really reckon it is, man. Like, it's the same with the Hamish and Andy videos. What Haim and Ann do with their content is, there's so many comments that end with the podcast and everything is that come in that say, hey, I'm going through some hard stuff and this is really nice. Yeah.
It's just you can go from this horrific life over here, pick yourself up, put yourself over in Hamish and Andy world for a couple of hours and you feel great and it picks you back up and you're like, all right, now I'm ready to go back and handle the situation over here.
And that's really, I think on a deeper level, probably, I mean, that's largely why I love what I do. And I imagine it is with you as well, like you knowing that you're helping people or contributing a positive thing to them.
Yeah.
On a deep, even if it's subconscious. Yeah. Really, we just fucking love having
fun. Yeah, just having fun, yeah. But that fun then provides that. And then that motivates you incredibly to keep going.
Right.
Like that's what's motivating me to keep going is that people want more. They ask for more. So I'm like, yeah, great. I love doing it. If you want more, I'll do it.
That's so cool, man.
It's fun.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously.
It's weird, though.
That's a wicked achievement, though. Like, to be able to put yourself in this state where you're doing what you love and people want you to do more of it, it's any artist's dream.
Yeah.
It is.
It's pretty good.
It's amazing.
I'm very happy. I'm so happy.
We'll go.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Christian.
I'm just going to give myself a pat on the back.
You love yourself.
I love myself 3 times a day.
I'm loving myself right now.
Hey! That's my cheek for everyone.
It wasn't. He's lying.
It's my massive cock. I'm trying to. Are we wrapping this up?
Yeah, wrap
okay,
up.
Okay, so I'll wrap it up. Do the Jimmy Carr. No, have you seen where he goes on stage? He's so clever. So comedian.
Yeah.
He comes out on stage. He goes, "All right, now I'm gonna." He throws all the content back on the audience. He says, "All right, I'm gonna push the limits, and I'm gonna judge what jokes you can handle." By your reaction. So he does racist Holocaust. He pushes it. But he throws all the when someone gets upset at your joke, he throws
spectrum.
It back at the audience.
Oh,
like,
right.
This is your doing. You're telling me how far I can push it.
Wow.
And he just goes, they're so offensive, but so funny. And you don't feel angry at him because he's thrown all the
responsibility back into people's.
That's what I feel like, the end of this being like,
try to offend me.
Well, I don't think I could offend you.
Try.
Well, I know what would offend you.
What?
Oh, it's me. It's me. It's just me, Nicole. It's like, oh, look at your bung eye. It's turning me off. Or like, I don't know. Like,
keep going.
I couldn't offend you. I'm not good at offending people. I can say cunt and fuck and you're a fucking cunt. Like, I just want to let it all out. McCunty, McFuck, cunt, you fuck. But you should probably beep that because people get really upset. People find that word so aggressive.
What do you think about offence? Do you feel like it says more about someone that's been offended or the offender?
The person being both. It's right. Both.
Yeah.
It's I've always been under the proviso I don't get offended easily, but I do. Like when someone critiques, I don't want to be offended. I think both, the offending person is probably being a dickhead, but then the other person's really sensitive and not having an understanding where they're coming from.
Yeah.
It's that whole. It all comes back to just being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Totally. And it's also like having a good read on what they're taking the self out of it and having a good read on if what you're saying is actually true or not. Like if you call me like a bung eye, stupid English twat. Or like
which you are,
when I used to be more insecure about being put down in Australia for being English because that you'd be a pommy and you'd be like no good and all that kind of stuff. When I first got here,
really,
yeah,
is that a genuine put down?
It felt like it from a real macho Aussie point of view. You know what Aussies are like when they're like,
oh, when they're a bit on the booze,
like just with the misogyny and all that bollocks.
Yeah,
I suppose it's like when I was more didn't know the truth of that whole stuff, I would have been more offended. But now I'm like, oh, I'm all right. I'm like just, I'm not English. I'm not Australian. I'm not anything. I don't care what I am. I'm just a human. So it's like, it just washes over me.
Because
it's not true. You know, it's true to their sense of reality, but that's theirs. It's not mine.
I found that the best way, if you do get upset or you're struggling to understand someone else, is just to physically, and you got to try hard to take yourself out. Put them in their shoes.
Yeah.
You put them in where they live, what their home life is like, what you think their work life is like, other sort of issues that you think might be going on, and then just go, where are they coming from or why do they feel that way?
Yeah.
It's like when you're driving a car and you toot someone because they're driving too slow. But if you knew that they'd just been in a horrific accident and they just survived and you're tooting them, you'd feel like an arsehole. But you don't know that. So they're driving slowly and it's annoying you, so you toot them. But you don't understand.
Yeah.
You just get angry. You just get angry and frustrated. But
that's exactly what it's like.
You've just got to – sometimes I would get such road rage and then I go – well, maybe it's because, you know, that's what's happened.
Yeah.
And then I drive past them and look in the window and go, oh, no, it's not. Rude finger.
Rude finger. Yeah, that's true, man.
And it's hard to do. It's really hard.
It is.
When you're angry or upset, you don't want to.
Because you've got enough shit to deal with. You're dealing with your own, like, stresses.
It does help. It helps so much when you take yourself out and go, okay, that's why they're like that. And it's not coming from a complete place of hate. It's just because they're dealing with this. And I never think people hate me or hate other people. It's just the situation that they're in. They're just frustrated by you.
Yeah.
They never hate you. Well, I don't know. I just like to say that.
Oh, no, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. They're not. They're not just not taking responsibility for their own relationship to the thought that they're having. That's it. Because it's their responsibility, their thought. That's it. It's nothing to do. It's completely
it's
here.
All up up in their head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, big love, man. Thanks for the chat.
I'm going to go home and go back to bed. Although I went to bed at 2 a.m. last night because I had a really good time. It had been quite a while, so I'm really pleased with myself.
I'm really happy
and
for you.
And when he came over, it's always an added bonus when their photos don't do them justice. You're like, oh, wow, your photo's really hot. And they come over and you're like, oh, my God, you're hot.
You're way better.
And it's just straight into it. Shoes off at the door, straight into the bedroom. No chit chat. We had really good conversation. I think that's where I really enjoyed it, and that's why we're up till 2 a.m.
Right. Yeah, man. The conversation really.
It's all about the conversation.
Brings it to a whole other level.
Connection.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's 2 o'clock and I'm tired. All right, I'll never see you again. Lovely to meet you. Next, number 35. At the deli counter. That's my sex life is like at the deli counter. Yeah. Number 37. In you come. Yeah, what would you like? Okay, the large sausage, please, and the... okay, this is... Okay, end it now, Jess.
Google Christian Hull for more on this beautiful man.
Ooh, don't do it. Thank you.
That was really fun. Let me make sure...
That was fun! Well, it ends up like how most things that I'm on end up. You go back to listen to it, and it's like an hour 20 of conversation. It's 15 minutes, and it's just like all the parts of me have been edited out.
I'm going to share it, and it's actually like a 4-minute
podcast. There's something went wrong with the audio. It's 4 minutes. No, I edited it down.